You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Faith for the Whole Family by Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey.
Let me talk about this a little bit. Proverbs 31 and verse 1 through 7. So parents should be teaching and modeling faith. It says the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. First we read about the father teaching. Then he says about that his mother taught him. Verse 2 said, "What, my son, what the son of my womb, what the son of my vows." Verse 3, "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." He said, don't give your, and let me tell you, know what she's telling him in today's trend? Don't be going around sleeping with all these women. This is his mother telling him this. His mother's telling him, give not your strength unto women. His mother is a mother teaching her son about women. Because women know women. And men know men. That church say amen. That church say amen again. Church say amen one more time. So that means when we tell y'all something, and you need to understand, if the father telling the mama, and she may not see it, listen, that boy that she dating, he ain't no good. I'm telling you, something wrong with him. Now the mama saying, "Oh, he cute." Listen, we know men. Amen. Men know men, and women know women. And so we also have to teach cross sexes with our children to give them the wisdom that we have. Look, so he says, don't give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. He said, you're a king, you're a prince. He said, and so understand who you are and understand your value. And don't let, in this case, he's saying, don't let a woman come along and mess you up. This is a mother instructing her son. And then he says, then verse 4 says, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Lest they drink, forget the law." What law is he talking about here? The word of God, the law of God. How many of y'all know drinking make you forget all about the word of God? Put your hand up if you found that out. Put your hand up. A few hands went up. A few honest hands went up. Okay. It says, "Lest they drink, forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that are heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more." And what I want to point out here is that the teaching that we see that the Bible says that the parents gave, it was real practical. A lot of times I discover that Christian parents, we try to be real general. Now you know you ought to live right. Well, what does that mean? You know, you need to do what you're supposed to do. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know how you was raised, right? Well, what does that mean? She's being very specific here. Specific about women. Specific about drinking. Okay. I recently did a thesis on drinking. And I sent it to my children in a Google Doc. Did you get yours? Did you get yours? Kendra got hers. Okay. I outlined it all from the scriptures, what the Bible has to say, and in real practical ways. I wanted them to understand because here's the other thing, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it, honey. But sometimes there are issues in your family that your kids don't know anything about. But you see it creeping up. And you know the devil is trying to bring this thing back into this family, something that you were able to circumvent, or something that God delivered you out of, and they don't understand that. And so I outlined what the scripture said, and then I went back and I gave them family history. I said, "You need to know this is what happened with your grandfather, this is what happened with my grandfather." And watch it. Oh, by the way, and since that exposition that I gave y'all, I recently found out when Ondati was here, okay, I never knew this, that my grandfather on my father's side, on my mother's side, I knew he had died, of course, but I said, when my aunt died, he was here a couple weeks. I said, how'd your father die? He was in the bar. Okay, well, I knew the man drank. I didn't surprise me, he was in the bar. But what happened in the bar? He fell off the bar stool. The bar stool broke his neck and died later on that day. He was really drunk. Okay. And so watch this. So when I heard that, that further compounded to me, you understand, this alcohol thing. So on both sides of my family, on my mother's side and my father's side, there was a lot of alcohol abuse. Okay. And I wanted my children to understand that and say, listen, these are doors you need to be careful about. Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. The Bible does not strictly forbid drinking. Okay. It doesn't. I know the church does. Okay. And they do on the Baptist covenant on the first Sunday, where my family used to read it every first Sunday. We were restrained from the use of alcoholic beverages, and they would line in church every first Sunday. Okay. And, but the Bible gives guidelines. And so my point about this is not about alcohol. My point is that in teaching children, you got to be real practical. And something I've discovered with this generation is that they want to know why. My generation, we didn't ask why. We were scared to ask why, because after you got up off the floor, they was playing to you because I said so. That's all the why we needed. Okay. But this generation, they really do want to know why. And we need to be able to explain why, which means we got to be people of the word. We can't just give rules and regulation. We need to be people of the word. But I really believe if we teach our children the ways of God and the faith in general way, in terms of our Christianity and why we believe what we believe, and then all the more so operating in principles of faith, we'll see that thing play out in the next generation. Amen. All right. So to my immediate left here, we have counselor, attorney, Tyler Bailey. Okay, this is my middle son.
Good evening, everybody.
And to his immediate left is counselor Elise Bailey, another attorney. Okay. And then to the far left on the couch there is Brianna. And Daniel and Brianna they've been going together and dating how long? About 7 years?
No, it would actually be, I think it's 10 years as friends and 8 dating.
Lord, she remember days, y'all. 10 years and 8 days that they've been friends.
10 years.
They've been friends. And yeah. But they've been going again, dating for about what, 7? 8 years dating. Because it was through high school and then college. Right? And both of them are college graduates from Queens University and University of, what's that university what? Called what?
I'm sorry, the University of South Carolina.
University of South Carolina. I got ready to say Clemson.
University of the state of South Carolina?
I got ready to say Clemson. University of South Carolina. Okay, so to the far left is my son Daniel. That's baby boy. And they are 25 and 24 respectively, right?
I'm 25.
26 and 25. They both just had birthdays. 26 and 25. All right. Let's talk about. I want to start off. Let's start off with Elise. You in the spirit, if you knew what's happening. She's very spiritual, y'all. She knew. She knew right away. She knew we were going. She was in the spirit.
We have a lot of personality in our family. Okay.
Yeah, we have a lot of personality.
A lot of personality. Mm-hmm. A lot of personality.
Some of our personalities even clash sometimes.
Who would think?
Okay. But at least talk about your observations, you know, coming into our family and around our family with respect to what you saw regarding faith and the things of God.
Well, what I can say coming in initially, and they kind of mention it in church all the time, is that this faith thing is very, very real for them. I can attest to the fact this is not something they just get up on Sunday and Wednesday and tell you guys stories about. They're not making any of this up. They really walk this thing out. All of their children can tell you stories about how they've all been praying for each other and laying hands on each other since they were children. And it's all very, very real for them and all very practical. So the advice that you're getting is tried and tested.
Very good. Just like, how much I owe you for that? All right. Brianna, what have you observed about our family?
Well, I started coming to this church when I was about 14 years old. So
But once I well, became...
Let's back up. Let's tell everybody, because a lot of people here don't know our history. Let's talk about how we got introduced, connected, all that stuff.
I used to sing as a little girl around church events around the city, and the first time they saw me, I was 10 years old. I did not have on ruffle socks.
You had ruffle socks.
You did have ruffle socks.
Ruffle socks. Green.
So they met me when I was 10 years old. So we were just talking about that. Basically, they've known me for that's a long time. That's like 15 years,
right?
So that's how we got connected, and that's when he first laid eyes on me. So coming into, it was church family before it was, family. So I got to see both sides of it. Like, I come on Sundays and Wednesdays, I go to youth church, and, that part of it was great. And then, once our friendship turned into a relationship, because, I was his friend, so I knew, but, I would hear things that other adolescents would say, like, they just go to church, or you're a PK, or I would, say, oh, who's your boyfriend? And they're like, oh, it's a pastor's son. Oh, I just know he's out of control. And I'm like, no, it's actually me, for the most part. Not really. My mom doesn't play those games. But just coming into it as a family with a relationship, kind of piggybacking off of her, it's just like, it's real. Like, you have some people who get up here, they say things, or, especially for children, they can get disconnected because they have to share their parents with so many people. And you can lose faith and you can, stray. But I've never really seen, they're not perfect, like he said, but you can tell that these two have trained all four of them up in the way that they should go, and they'll never part from it, which is part of the reason why I always knew that I was going to marry him, because I would look at his family dynamic and say, my parents were like that. That they would trust that. They would be safe with that.
Okay. Daniel and Tyler, one of the things I say is that some things are taught, some things are caught. Taught is what you officially hear said, and then caught is kind of what you get from the hidden curriculum, or things that you just see. Talk about that. Talk about things that stand out to you in terms of you being raised as our children, of things that were taught to you and things that you caught from both of us together or either of us.
Daniel? Okay. Growing up in the church, I believe, growing up in our church, we were taught a lot of the faith principles that all your children are being taught in children's church. So we were taught most of our principles in church, I believe. And it's kind of like doing homework when it happens in real life. So let's say I'm doing bad in school and I'm complaining about a teacher. My mom will push me to study more, or, you can do it, believe God, and do your part, and you'll get the grades. So it was part taught and caught and reinforced. So it's always you learn something, you try it out, then you get corrected about it, then you learn from seeing your parents. It's this whole cycle that never ends and never stops and still goes today.
Yeah, basically what he was saying, like, growing up in children's church, Ms. Joyce, he probably in there now, Mr. Joyce, we always were taught this, reinforcing what y'all taught here in the adult church, as believing God, he'll do anything for you. But you know, when you're as a kid, you really don't understand in a way. It's just in the back of your mind. Like, I remember, I don't know what you said to Rogers that day, but he was like, God can do it, And he was like 4 years old. So that's just like consciously. But as you get to adult, when you get those battles and you have to really like use your faith, that's when you realize, well, some of these things were taught and some of them were really caught on. Like when my mother, for example, prayed all the time. When I mean all the time, all the time. Almost to the point, sometimes it used to be kind of scary. When you're a little kid, you think something's wrong. Like, why is mom up in the kitchen, like, crying, But really, she's just being in her prayer closet. And so, like, and as I got older, I realized, like, anytime I'm going through something or I'm feeling bad, I just pray. And that's one thing that's caught. My mother just, she'll stop. She'll just pray. Or is anything going wrong? Okay, we're going to pray. So that's, I say one of the things I caught on is just praying through my issues through life.
Sure.
I obviously didn't grow up in this family, but I just brought up a good example as they were mentioning all of that. I remember calling my wonderful mother-in-law recently, well, probably a couple months ago, talked to her about a problem that I was having, and I am fortunate enough to have a great relationship with my mother-in-law. I don't know if everybody in the world can say that, but I have an amazing relationship with her. I remember calling...
And your father-in-law, right?
Yeah, you too. And so I remember calling. I was really going through something, and I just really needed to vent. And I just kept complaining about what was going on, and everything she kept responding with was, you know, like, just some scripture. God's really going to work it out, and you know, like, you know, it's coming, and just all Pastor Marsha things to say, you know? And I was just like, I get that. Like, I'm not a heathen. Like, you know, like, everything you say, like, I believe you. Like, it's in here, you know, but right now, I just want, you know, some realness. And she said, this is my realness. This is all I got. This is all, like, faith is all I got, you know? That's all. And so...
And one last thing I want to say, I believe, and I believe Daniel probably believes the same thing. We were taught ages probably 1 through 18, all right? But now I realize the things that I do are likely caught by just seeing what my parents do and growing up. And one thing I'm thinking about with me starting a law firm, watching my dad start the ministry and grow the church. So picking up where I left off was that I believe... what I'm doing now is more caught. And I was saying about how my father started the ministry. I used to see him going. I used to go with him to church early in the morning and just watch movies while he was, you know, preparing lessons or helping put up sheetrock. And I naturally do the same things now with the law firm. And even when he does a prayer before he starts preaching, asking God for articulation of speech and the Holy Spirit to guide him through. And I do the same thing before I go to court now. So I believe a lot... of what I was caught, well, I was taught things, but now I'm doing more of what I'm caught as an adult.
Awesome. Which I want to go into next and talk about in terms of your faith, the things of God, you know, growing up as a Christian, for any of you or all of you. Daniel is a professional basketball player. Brianna, she operates, she's a manager for Enterprise, right? Enterprise. there's no hookups, all right? And of course, both Elise and Tyler, both of them are attorneys. Tyler works for himself, manages his own law firm. And Elise at another firm. But talk more about how you integrate faith into what you do, each of you, or any of you. When I say faith, faith in terms of believing God, but also faith in terms of just your stand for God and Christian principles, all those things. How you integrate that into your life and your work.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'll just go. Well, one thing I'll say is that I try my best to be a Christian example in my workplace. If people know that sometimes I leave on Wednesday to go to noonday Bible study, or people walk in my office and see all these post-it notes, all these scriptures on my walls, they need to see me living that out Monday through Friday and not cussing out my secretary because she did something wrong. So I just try to be a person of my word and a person of integrity. And so that if I am the only Christian that these people come in contact with, I'm the only Christian Lord these people come in contact with, I don't make a bad impression on both the profession and both Christians if I might be the only person that they may know that professes to be a Christian. Okay.
Well, I know for me, when you talk about, like, what we do, a lot of times we joke, everybody that works with me, we joke and say, well, people say, well, what did you go to school for? Like, how did you end up here? And I'm like, no, there is no major called rental car. So it's funny him asking, you know, how do you do your faith? Well, my faith started right after I walked across the stage when I graduated from college because, excuse me, nobody would hire me. So I had lost my faith. I remember talking to him, and you're going to get it. News station after news station saying, no, you don't have experience. And I'm like, well, yeah, I got work ethic. I've been working since I was 14. So my faith has been activated as far as my profession since before I had one. And that stands out to me because I lost my faith. And then when I couldn't get a job with using my degree, I kept saying, oh, I don't want to be a statistic. I don't want to be one of those 90% of people who aren't using what they're paying Sally Mae back for. But it's cool. I know some people out here is doing the same thing, right? Raise your hands. Anybody using their degrees? Okay, I didn't think so. So I got out of that funk of losing my faith because, you know, God blessed me to have a job where, you know, I'm fortunate to say that I'm in a position financially where some people are using their degrees that, like, some of my peers are using their degrees and, you know, they're not where I am financially. So I took lemons and made lemonade with what I was given. And when it comes to my profession, the first thing I thought of when he said, how do you use your faith at my job? I am in customer service. And I must say, one of the most godly things I do on a daily basis is turn the other cheek. Because people will try and test your faith. And like she said, you can be that person that's like, oh, she's marrying the pastor's son, or oh, she come from a good Christian family, but she cussed me out when I asked her for a special kind of car. And I try not to be that person. And my job is very demanding of me, and I have to be a people person. But and I have my days where, you know, my faith is worn out, I must say. But, you know, I meet these people, because I'm a people person, if y'all haven't, you know, noticed by now. I meet these people, and they're like, you're just, oh, my gosh, you're just so happy. You know, you're always smiling. They always say they love my smile. Or they, some people say there's, like, this light. And I'm like, trust me, with a job like this, that's God that you see. That's not me. Because sometimes me wants to hop across the counter. So definitely turning the other cheek, being positive. And then to me, it's just a blessing. I get to come across so many people with what I do. And when I meet these people who, like, they're huggers, or they want to see wedding pictures, or they remember me, or, you know, I've had parking lot conversations where I've had to help someone reinstate their faith. You may just be coming in there just to get a car, but I have a spirit of discernment where I can tell something else is wrong. And I might just be, you know, I might just be a branch manager or assistant branch manager to most people. And that is my job title. But when you're a Christian, one of the scriptures that stuck out to me most as a kid with my parents was go out into the world and preach the gospel. And there's so many different ways you can do it. So with my profession, I'm blessed to come across so many people and have conversations or just be that light that brightens up their day. I'm not always that light, but I try to be, and I do a good job at it.
Praise God. All right. Daniel, you know, we went, what was that, March? We went to see Daniel over in Finland. And my regard for my son in terms of what he does and to me, a level of faith to do what he did and to stay focused went to a whole nother level. And then to live in an environment like that, what, 8-9 months out the year, away from family, away from home. Talk to me about how you use your faith in managing all that.
I don't know if y'all know, but I guess I'm the, what's the word I'm looking for? They say I don't talk. You know, they say I don't show my emotions. And
He's the one, y'all, when he was spanked as a child, he refused to cry. He would look at me and say, come on, Dad. I'm like, cry, boy. Come on, Dad, really?
Faith can work for your family at any age. Whether you have small children or aging parents, faith can be activated in your family. Doctors Herbert and Marcia Bailey, along with members of their own family, share candid discussions on how to make faith work for your household. Order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Faith for the Whole Family. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.